Okay. Hello, everyone. This is Paige Hattie, the director of Mobius Connect, and I have the pleasure today of sitting down virtually with Noah Bethel from PDMA. Noah, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Hello from sunny Tampa, Florida.
I know. We were just saying it's not so sunny today, right? It's a little gloomy on our coast of Florida today.
a little rain, yes.
Oh my goodness, but it usually passes quick in our area, so fingers crossed for that. But Noah, for those listeners today that may not know you, would you mind just elaborating a little bit more on your background and who PDMA is?
Sure. So I got my start in the nuclear and electrical engineering side of the U.S. Navy, came directly into sunny Tampa, Florida, and joined the PDMA organization, which manufactures electric motor test equipment. They also used to offer field services and troubleshooting for critical assets. And so I kind of cut my teeth in using technology to identify asset health for electric motors, and moved into the manufacturing side of the company and basically the product development side. So now I get a chance to spend time with customers and find out what they want and technologies that they need to make motors last longer.
Love it. And Noah, we talked about this last time. If anyone listening hasn't listened in on one of Noah's webinars with us previously, on his last one, we talked a little bit about some of your hobbies, one of which being curling, which I'm still fascinated by. So for those, again, that are listening in that are new or may not have attended that webinar, Noah, how did you get into curling?
So there's a little bit of magic in that, because we're in the state of Florida, which doesn't quite jive with curling. But of course, you know, hockey's a big thing, you know, down here as well. So, you know, there was an invitation, come learn about curling at the local ice rink where, you know, kids go and play hockey and people skate for fun. And so we showed up with just a group of like, you know, five, friends, and we showed up and there was like over 100 people there that wanted to learn about curling. I think and it was just an interesting invitation. But then like shortly after they sort of formed up this, you know, learn to curl kind of classes, of course, the USA took the Olympics. Right. And so that launched it, and everyone was excited about it and into it. And so, yeah, we've got like a 10 to 15 team curling, you know, event that goes every year. And it's a lot of fun.
That's awesome. It sounds like fun. I'm hoping to be able to catch a match sometime, because it sounds highly entertaining and the outfits look super, super stylish in the pictures that we've seen, Noah.
Absolutely. Bring a jacket.
Oh my gosh. Sounds like a plan. So anyway, switching gears a little bit. So today we're going to be talking about permanently installed technology. So Noah, to get us started, would you mind explaining why permanently installed technology is so popular today?
Right. So a lot of that, you know, it's been coming, it's been developing, you know, over the last few years, or, you know, five even, maybe even longer. We've heard hints of people wanting to, you know, for their supercritical assets, that, you know, the portable testing industry, which is still good and important, you know, but there may be situations where they might miss something if the testing occurs on a monthly or quarterly basis. And so permanently installed, you know, is certainly a step up. I think one of the things that really launched that vertical was, anything that, whether it's a natural disaster or whatever, anything that keeps people from going out and spending time with the assets. You know, we always talk about, you know, it's a good idea to go out and every once in a while touch and smell and listen to the asset, to the motor specifically, and get a taste of what's going on. But so many, you know, things have come up recently that prevent someone from actually getting out there. And specifically, as an example, you know, a pandemic prevents people from getting out there. But baby boomers was a big deal. At some point, you know, I was looking at a study the other day, and it said that, you know, 2 million people per year on average were retiring. You know, they reference a baby boomer state kind of thing. But 2 million per year average retiring, you know, through 2019. But in 2020, it jumped up to 3.2 million. That's a huge increase in retirement. And when those, you know, experienced end users of technology and people who know your plant best retire, it's a big hit on the ability of your plant to sustain and be as reliable as it once was. So, being able to permanently install technology kind of overcomes some of that you know, learning curve for how to use technology. It basically runs autonomously on its own, and you just have to have someone that can look at the data at that point. The other thing I like to point out a little bit when it comes to what's hyping the permanently installed technology, besides just hey, it's new and it's innovative and it's neat, is we haven't seen that. And we expect it to come back, but we haven't seen a massive number of the younger generation coming out of college, coming out of high school, whichever, that are running to the maintenance and reliability industry. So what you've got is people who are finding it very difficult when you have baby boomers leaving and you've got, not a massive group of kids wanting to run into the maintenance and reliability industry. How do they supplement that? What can they do with that? Permanently installed technology is an answer to both of those events. So it kind of gives you an idea of it's not just new technology and the excitement, but there are factors, that are in fact, creating a lot more interest in it.
Awesome. So Noah, I think you touched on a number of them. Are there any other benefits that you'd like to highlight to permanently installed solutions?
Sure. When it comes to benefits, interestingly enough, our company, we manufacture and make available to the industry a motor test access panel. Now, this is a way to permanently install a device which allows you to walk up with portable technology and hook up to a live motor while it's running without actually exposing yourself to energized equipment. And a similar question was asked back when we initially were manufacturing this, and the number one reason for the motor test access panel was safety. And that's also one of the main benefits of the permanently installed technology. But the same survey we did for the MTAP back then, where it had safety as number one, based on our response we're getting now, safety actually it's still critical, but it actually is a secondary item. I think safety has been ingrained into the reliability industry for quite a few years now, and I think a lot of plants have a good control of that. But it's still a number one, or number two benefit. But the number one benefit people are really leaning on for permanently installed is reliability itself. It's the fact that they know they can permanently install a solution. They don't need people to be there testing in the middle of the night, in the middle of the weekend. It's 24-hour testing when it's permanently installed. At least that's generally the case. So reliability is the number one thing that people are surveying, saying, hey, this is, we're looking to improve our reliability over where we were before. Second is safety, as I mentioned, which is always something when any type of electric motor testing involves, being in the vicinity of electrical equipment. But if you can do all this from the safety of your office or even better, the back porch on this near the swimming pool sipping a cup of iced tea, that's a pretty safe place to look at motor data as well. And that's what permanently installed technology allows that. And then finally, accuracy of data acquisition. Once you've permanently installed and you've overcome all the hurdles of getting things connected correctly, you don't have the possible mistakes that could be made from someone walking in, connecting to a motor, which is the right phase, which is the right motor. All that gets taken care of during installation. So the accuracy and the repeatability of the data becomes premium at that point.
That's awesome. So then on the flip side of that, Noah, what do you find are some of the challenges?
Well, that's a good question. The biggest challenge we're probably getting from it, from permanently installed solutions, and the large majority of permanently installed solutions are utilizing cloud-based technology, which just makes sense when you're talking about, large and growing databases and data acquisition and processing of that data. Cloud-based technology just seems to go hand in hand. But there's a cloud acceptance hurdle that we're having to overcome a lot. And this is not, I like to compare it a little bit to the, being in the industry for many years, when Wi-Fi hit the streets in reliability, there was a similar hurdle to that. There were plants saying, "Hey, we're not going to have Wi-Fi in the plant. There's too many concerns about having giving some type of mobile or wireless access to things that could affect our plant operations." But over the last decade, we've seen that really reduce. And so the security around Wi-Fi has been really built, amped up. And so there's a lot better acceptance to that. Right now, we're seeing the same kind of resistance to cloud, cloud technology. So I would say that's our number one, is just getting people comfortable that you can really be secure in the cloud. It's not, you know, we recognize that there are certainly things that have to be done and in place, you know, to get it accepted, you know, from the local IT department. But cloud acceptance being number one, cybersecurity, which is kind of hand in hand with cloud acceptance. That's one of the reasons for it. But cybersecurity, and of course, recently with the pipeline issue and the meat industry, you can see that's not going away. So cybersecurity is something that is probably as high up there as anything else. And it's worse if the permanently installed technology that you're moving to the market, if it directly affects operations. So like our technology is really specifically more of a passive device. It doesn't actually operate or control assets. It's really specifically looking at the reliability and the asset health. So it's a little bit easier for us, but some of the technologies that are out there are directly in line with operations. And so the cybersecurity concern comes much higher if there's a possibility that they could shut something down. And then thirdly, and this is something that from a product development perspective, we really, you know, this creates anxiety in us from a development perspective, which is the machine learning and the nuisance alarm sort of situation. I went to a conference recently. And I was listening to, you know, a representative from the utility industry, and they were talking about the permanently installed vibration industry and how it has its successes and its goods and bads, of course, certainly challenges. And one of the challenges they had were many hundreds, if not sometimes 1,000 nuisance alarms. And they had plants up and down the East Coast, right? This is a major utility company. And that number of nuisance alarms was a number that made me nervous as a developer. I was like, man, we cannot have a technology succeed with just, you know, a high number of nuisance alarms. And so when you've got someone manually collecting the data and looking at the data and deciding right in the spot whether it's good or bad, it's a little easier to get through the questionable values. But when you got something autonomously running on its own and coming up with some recommendations for the analyst to make decisions on, those nuisance alarms can be a big deal and can really reduce the confidence in the permanently installed technology. So that is probably the third thing is if the post-installation of technology results in the need for people to reset alarms on a weekly or monthly basis, you're going to lose a lot of belief in that technology and generally in the industry of permanently installed reliability. So I would say that is the third thing is making sure that, you know, that you can make the end user comfortable that they're not going to be, you know, inundated with nuisance alarms that are, and of course, those nuisance alarms always occur on a Saturday or Friday night.
Of course they do. Oh my gosh. So then Noah, what have you found the impact has been since the COVID pandemic has been happening specifically with permanently installed technology?
So earlier I mentioned as far as, you know, kind of the, you know, what was popular about it is the lack of resources, the ability for people to get out and actually acquire test data. The COVID impact really just magnified that significantly. So, you know, companies who actually had some resources, they could take tests, were having difficulty getting people, you know, properly and safely in an environment to actually acquire data. So there was a big concern there. So I would say, you know, the impact of COVID was purely to magnify the attention. We've had so many more calls asking for, you know, interest in the permanently installed solutions following this pandemic because they had a bunch of people working from home, but they had access to historical data, but they weren't collecting new data. And so without question, the impact has been to increase the movement towards permanently installed solutions.
Awesome. Okay. So then taking a step back. So do you find with portable solutions that they're still relevant or useful in some cases?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a good question. And in fact, a lot of times when we're talking to people about permanently installed solutions, you know, that's some of the questions that come up. So, okay, because, you know, we have portable technology as well. In general, not every motor is qualifying necessarily for permanently installed solutions. Now, in certain environments with, you know, absolutely zero resources, you know, even semi-critical motors may qualify. But a lot of them aren't qualifying for 24-hour monitoring. You know, if you've got backups of backups of backups and everything is redundant and, you know, there may not be the need to a per asset cost increase a little bit for permanently installed solutions. So that's number one is like, you know, what do you do with all the semi-critical or subcritical assets that even though, you know, you don't necessarily need permanently installed solutions, you can't ignore them because they will become critical if they they catastrophically fail bad enough, or if a number of them fail and you can't recover from that. So that's one thing. The other thing is, and specifically with electric motors, not all of our fault zones. You've heard P&A talk about fault zones. It's always something that's almost like, you know, electric motor fault zones are almost synonymous with PD&A Corporation. And we talk about power quality, power circuit, insulation integrity, you know, stator windings, rotor, air gap, those kind of fault zones. Not all of those fault zones are easily acquired or easily analyzed with permanently installed technology. And that's not to say that there might not be someday permanently installed solutions that do completely cover those. But there are just some faults, and specifically when it comes to electric motors for the motor guys out here, the insulation integrity, the groundwall insulation is one area that just is better left right now to a de-energized, when I say de-energized motor, or when I say de-energized, I mean de-energized motor, but left to a test performed on a de-energized motor versus one while it's running. And so there are certain tests that just really, you know, are just more applicable to a, you know, to that state of the motor being not running at the time. The other thing is that, you know, when a motor's running, you've got, you know, the full power, going in and out of the motor windings and into the stator windings. There's magnetic fields being induced and created and making the motor turn. And so there's a lot more to muddy the water in terms of troubleshooting. So if you talk to an analyst who has to look at data all day and try to figure out what's wrong with the motor and which direction should we take, so a lot of times the troubleshooting of electric motors, even if you have permanently installed technology, the analysts are going to ask for some data that is, again, better equipped or better left to a de-energized motor that's not going to be, you know, it doesn't have to look at the power, you know, or be affected by the power coming in. The motor is at a de-energized, you know, stable state, and you can send signals into the motor and learn a lot about it. That's not something you can do while the motor's running. While the motor's running, you're passively acquiring voltages and currents, and you're making decisions, and good decisions, but making decisions off that. But with the motor de-energized, we can send signals in. And so there are definitely benefits in terms of troubleshooting that just makes sense for you know, portable technology versus permanently installed. And then the final thing is, a motor's life doesn't start once it's installed. Many years of a motor's life is often sometimes in a warehouse, but we can't ignore a motor in a warehouse, right? So from a motor being tested at a motor repair shop or a manufacturing facility, and it may not be able to be loaded, an offline test, you know, a portable test makes a little bit more sense there. But once it gets into a warehouse, there is no permanently installed while the motor's running testing. It does require, in a warehouse or a storage facility, you're going to have some portable technology to maintain the reliability consistent with the standards of motor storage and warehousing. So there's just a couple things that we think are always going to keep that portable technology, you know, a thing of the present.
Awesome. Well, Noah, is there anything else that you'd like to add? And for any of our newer listeners who haven't already had conversations with you before, how can people best reach out to you to get more information?
So, you know, from a PDMA perspective, we have our website. We do a lot of presentations, you know, from a CBM Connect perspective, you know, going on your all's website and looking from the motor expertise and motor reliability are two very good things. The other thing is YouTube is popular. So from our website, you could, one of the things that people like to see is case studies. And the PMA YouTube channel is full of case studies and probably one that is similar to the situation that they may be going through at the time. So that would probably be the best way. And maybe come see us at a conference sometime. I think you guys will have a conference coming up before long, and we'll be there.
Yes, definitely so. Conferences are coming back, which is awesome. But in the meanwhile, I know anywhere, I know you're very easily accessible, I think on LinkedIn and other platforms too. So,
absolutely. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, Noah, it's always nice catching up with you. I'm sure we'll do this again soon, and hopefully we'll see you soon.
Looking forward to it. Very much so.
Awesome. Thank you.